Appreciate it. Nathan Fillion, he's done the Maison with Donald Faison. It's Donald
Faison. About you. Oh, good times. Like Harrison Ford. Yes.
It's all about value.
Here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV.
Yep.
I see what Hulu has to offer me.
Ooh.
I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options and I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely.
Yeah, pop that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
And if you listened to last week's episode, I put it in the description of the episode, but I do apologize for the lack of being able to hear Ryan as well as you should have.
Yeah.
Because I did my best.
He was on a task, and
he was there. Good. I couldn't figure it out. Bummed me out a lot. I mean,
no, it's hard.
If I had both my headphones in, I could hear him. But I think the problem was that records in stereo, and it was trying to come through a mono channel. I don't know. I could go on and on. I'm sure that has nothing to do with
anything.
People
don't know how hard it is to mix in outside audio from what you're normally doing.
Yes, it was a pain.
Because they go to a bar and they hear a DJ, like, oh, this should be great. And he does something bad. And like, oh, he's terrible.
This guy sucks.
It's hard. Like, yeah. It's not easy.
So I do apologize, Ryan and Jess, if you're listening. I apologize that you couldn't hear you as well as I would have liked.
But we love you and thank you for coming to San Diego. Yay! Just to be on our show.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you came here.
That's, right? Of course, the only reason.
The one reason.
That was awesome.
Yes.
Like, it was awesome.
It was super cool.
It was great to have them in and on. And, and I thought the episode went really well.
So they came to SeaWorld, right?
And they came to SeaWorld.
Yeah, nice.
And it was really cool. They got to do like some extra nice stuff. And
that's cool.
And they pretty much had the park to themselves.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. They had the royal treatment.
They really did. I mean, it was great. It was great.
Word.
So Biz came through. And
that's cool.
And luckily, they took a little longer to get done because I had...
Oh, it worked out?
I had physical therapy that morning.
Oh, okay.
And so I couldn't get there until later.
Yeah.
So luckily I was able to get there in time to take them over to the Killer Whale area to meet Biz. And that all worked really cool.
Dope.
And then they got like the private dolphin show, essentially.
Oh, because it was a rehearsal?
It was rehearsal. Yeah. And so they got to sit in there. And with my friend Vincent, who was so – man, I really wanted to like record some stuff with Vincent because he has stories of the block. From back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Get him on the show.
I know.
Have him come down.
And what I want to do is record his take on some like a particular like set of like six or seven stories that are like legendary.
Yeah.
So this is my whole thing.
All right.
Right.
Break it down.
Just be nice to people.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And when you're in the right spot, things will come back to you, and it'll work out. And obviously, Jess Jansen, wonderful woman.
Yes.
Ryan, wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to visit, and because they're nice people, it worked out for them.
Yes, that's true.
And they got to have a special treatment.
Because they are awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome sauce.
Yep.
So thanks guys for coming down and being awesome. And if you can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. You can call the voicemail 9-619-438-0532. You can become a patron today at patreon.com/lifesabinge. Become a producer like Jess Jansen, first of her name, breaker of wallets and all that stuff.
Yeah. No, and then the whole thing.
Mother of Doggos.
Mother of Doggos.
That's the last one, yes.
There you go.
And then there's the tight wallet Tony and Tyler Rowe and Kathy Weintraub as well.
The burnt.
And the honorary bingers David, Mikey, BJ, and Jared. And the honorary bingers. Okay, that's what I meant. All that stuff.
You burnt.
All that being said. Check us out, patreon.com/lifesabinge. All that being said, let's go ahead and take a big breath right now.
Life's a binge!
Hold it.
Hold it.
Oh, man.
Hold it longer.
Yes.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I'm going to hijack this for a second.
Yes.
because we know things that Jared doesn't know.
Uh-oh.
Which is fun for us, right?
But now? Oh, we do
well,
know
we
stuff.
We can't say things.
Yes.
But
right.
Yay.
We know things that Jared doesn't
know.
Yeah,
we do.
So, oh, wait a minute. So what's today? When this airs, this will be like...
this is coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
The 25th.
Fifth, okay.
Yeah. So there's still a ways out.
So now,
at
2 weeks.
Week or so,
yeah, week and a half. Yeah, week and a half.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Not
yeah,
this week,
the new air date. Yeah.
But the week after that is the, yes, the new date for our America Says episode.
Yes.
Which we thought was going to be on the 14th.
But it wasn't.
Which is 2 weeks ago now, almost.
Right.
So when you heard that, were you like, oh, they're saving it because it was so good?
I don't know what.
That's
actually
what I felt. Not to like inflate our egos, but I'll inflate our egos. Right?
Maybe. Part of me was like afraid that like oh they're not going to air something went happened during
like
our
they
episode.
Went air episode.
Yeah, that they weren't going to air.
Weren't they? It was great.
I don't
I
know.
Mean, it wasn't anything. Sorry, I can't really say. Jared Weintraub. I can't
I
tell
hate you guys what so much.
So, but yeah, so, I was going in two different directions. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, our stupid song, they want to like make that into the thing.
A thing?
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's not going to happen. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we don't know.
We'll have to see how it plays because I'm really curious. But
so
but anyway.
I felt super bad. Like, not McLovin and his friend super bad, but
right.
I felt super bad because Jared's not like, he wasn't, you didn't get to be there for this.
I know.
And I felt so sad.
Right.
As soon as we parked the car, we got out of the car, we go into the thing, we do the whole things I can't talk about, blah blah blah. And
forgot
I really wanted Jared to be there for this.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Just
absolutely.
I mean,
all
one
of
us were gonna was gonna sit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, you still sit and watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you still be there.
But
one guy
yeah.
had to sit out anyway.
Right.
But
one of us were gonna be sitting
for it to be like default.
Yeah.
Lame.
Well, it made
terrible
it was almost like him jumping on a grenade.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that meant everybody else
got to go.
To go and do the whole thing.
Yeah,
I
did it on
us.
Purpose.
That was
yeah,
sweet
that was
of you. That was sweet of you.
You're a stand-up guy, man.
That's right.
Yeah, we love it. We love you for that.
So,
let's see.
Yeah, it'll be fun to like talk about the whole thing when
I can't wait to watch
I
it.
I
want to
watch
you,
it. It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Yell at the screen. I know
yeah.
it.
So the fifth, you're good.
Oh yeah.
You'll yell at Tony.
You're good to watch.
Anybody.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so yeah, it airs at 1:30 as of right now on
Pacific
Coast time,
yeah.
which is odd. So set your DVRs and then watch it later.
Wait, 1:30 when?
On the
December
5th.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
December 5th.
December 5th.
Well, Thursday, December 5th.
That's
at 1:30 p.m.
Yeah, that I don't know. I yeah. haven't received an email from the producer, so
Mikey's
I'm
skeptical.
Mikey P is
I am
skeptical.
Skeptical.
Well, before the first air date, either.
See, that's
and
what I was saying. I don't remember
right?
getting one.
No, I did.
I didn't get one.
He says
you
he
got one? One.
Yeah,
he got the photo. So I, like,
yeah.
I don't remember
well,
getting.
Well, no,
the photo.
I got that, but they were like, "This is going to air the same date." The same
yeah,
time,
they, when you
so.
Got when you got the photo, they it was in that email that came with the photo.
She did not say that to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All that being said,
Jared's like, screw all you guys.
Thanks, Jared.
I got zero emails.
You didn't get the photo? You didn't get the photo?
Is it with your face not in it?
Got
so
nothing.
We post a photo up on Facebook. And, you're like, fuck you guys.
I know, I was going to Photoshop myself.
Do it like, yeah, do it like Rich. Do it like Rich's, you know, Rich and, my, and Maddie.
Yeah, just stick my face in. That's right. That's right.
I can put him in there, and it would look really good, honestly.
Yeah, it would look better than me half-assed doing it. Exactly. I have a cold, which is lame.
No.
Boo.
Yeah, boo. And then I went golfing today, which was awesome.
What? And you didn't call me?
Which
I'm
was
hurt.
Awesome.
I'm so hurt.
But when, you when you're slightly under the weather, and then you go out and golf all day in the sun, which doesn't sound exerting, but it is. And yeah,
it's super
tired. That's why I came home and then I took a nap. And then I was like, I got to wake up for recording.
Naps are awesome.
I never can fall asleep. Like, it's taking a nap is the most rare thing in the world for me. But
really?
I was just so done, like sick, literally sick and tired, that I was like, I'm going to go to sleep. And then I did. And it was amazing.
Dude, I was going to say, do you remember when you hated naps? But no, none of us remember that. Because
right. I remember that.
So
now I remember, like, yes.
Oh, what?
Hell, yes.
Like,
all the things you hate when you're a kid.
Yes, please.
It's bedtime.
No.
Can I have two?
Go take a shower. No. It's like, man, I'll spend like 50 minutes in the shower. Like, okay.
Here's your gift. So it's good. Socks and underwear. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you for socks and underwear.
No, because my mom still buys the wrong size socks because she thinks I'm more of a giant of a man than I really am. Mom, I'm not extra large.
Yeah.
Thanks, though. Thanks, though, Mom.
What's up with you, BJ?
Let's see. I did the first Christmas dolphin show the other day. It was really fun showing around. I started to talk about it a lot at the very beginning there. Showing Jess and Ryan and her mom. Her mom was so cute and so like into it all.
Aww.
And then Vincent was great. Vincent was so – I mean, I hadn't seen Vincent in 40 years. Like before.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's seen Tony a couple times since then.
For
we've
those
been
of
in touch.
You in the audience, that's a long time.
That's more than a few weeks.
That is some time.
But it was sweet because he has such fond memories of my mother, which just makes me feel good. And like he's like, oh, your mom was like the mom of the whole block.
Yeah, yeah.
She looked out for everybody. She was always like on our side and. You know, took us to the museum and such, and did all this stuff. And my dad, he hadn't seen my dad in forever, and to see him get choked up, when you see my dad and talk to him, it was something else. It was really cool. And then also just the time we got to hang out and talk was like effortless. You know, which sometimes it takes effort.
It's not that.
It's not. Yeah, it takes effort.
Yeah. For
so
sure.
That was all cool. That was a really a nice time.
Nice.
Recovery moves in the right direction.
Nice.
That day with Jess and them was my biggest day since post surgery. We had over 4.5 miles walking and a few different flights of stairs too.
Yeah.
So it was and I'm.
Feeling
recovering.
It?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. We got rained out the next day. We had that rain.
Right.
And it closed SeaWorld. And so I was like, just chilling and resting. But recovery is coming along great.
Nice,
right
getting
on.
Into the Christmas season. Everything's
awesome.
Everything's good.
Rich,
I won't lie.
I'm not gonna lie.
Tough week.
Break it down.
You know how I'm sure all of you have felt this. You're like you're on Facebook or your Instagram because this week a year ago, this week 5 years ago, or this week 7 years ago.
The old memory bank.
And almost every day this week, it was all about the dog.
Argo.
Awesome. All about the dog.
Argo.
And it was tough. It was tough for me. And this is also on Monday? Tuesday? It was International Men's Day. And I checked in with all of my closest man friends about hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Just because, and I say this jokingly to all my male clients, portrait or headshot wise, we don't compliment men.
Right.
We don't talk to men. We don't think about men in that way. And I say, hey, how are you? Or do you feel good or validated or blah, blah, blah to my clients all the time.
Right.
All the time. And this week, doubly so, I was hey, how are you? As a human, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And for almost everyone I asked that to, it was a long answer about, hey, I'm dealing with this, or I'm doing this right now. All my closest friends, and these are guys that I've known very closely since 2002. So for, oh my gosh, math, 17 years, some of my closest friends having a hard time, having a great time, back and forth, whatever.
Right.
And it just reminds me that as guys, we don't, It's a very I'm gonna be real. It's a very hard thing to check in with your male friends and say, "Hey, are you okay?"
Right.
Because we don't do that. It's not a typical man thing.
Yeah, and then when somebody reaches out, it's also typically not a man thing to open up and be like, "You know what? Time sucks right now."
Right.
So you just go, "Yeah, I'm good."
Right.
Yeah, things are rough, but I'm okay.
And
that's the end of that.
And it doesn't suck, but it made me feel good that the vast majority of my male friends are able to say, hey, here's what's going on right now, and here's how I feel, and be very open and honest and earnest about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And only one or two were like, I'm okay.
Right.
Whatever. But the most of them are like, oh, you know, this is what it is right now, for and being super real about it.
Yeah.
And maybe they are okay.
And right, which is good. I hope fucking so. Like,
right.
You poor guy. And you can't even admit it to me. Everything's good. I swear to God.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I thought about all you guys. I didn't want to say it to you directly, like, you know, in the chat or like on fucking Facebook, because I know we'd be recording about this. But I wanted to say to all of you that I hope you're all doing well. And I hope you're all, like, going into the holidays, because for some people it's going to be an especially hard time because, you know, families are all different for everybody. And we all have different relationships. And you can't know or guess what people are going through, and I just hope that everything's great for you guys. I really truly do. And if it's not, please tell me. If you don't want to say it right now, call me. We'll go get a beer, we'll talk about it, and a cheeseburger and some fries. Like, I will do anything to make all of you all feel good, because men don't do that enough. Like, we just don't, and we need to be better to each other about that.
Do you think we're better than we were 15 years ago?
Men in general? Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Like night like, and day almost.
1,000%. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
So that's something to kind of like.
Yeah.
Silver lining. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all. I don't know. It's all silver lining.
It's relative to people's individual experience.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. But yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate.
No,
you could say it's easier and more common to say "I love you" to people, to a man, to say it to a man or a woman that you're not.
We do
with.
It more when it's like family or, you know, people that you've known for, you know, 1,000 years.
Right.
Like, I'm exaggerating, of course, but like I've known all of you guys for 10. Five,
probably, yeah, probably
four,
more.
3 or 2 years or so, and it's like because I don't ask all the time. It's, I mean, I don't care because I do, like,
right.
I super do.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. And this is the thing that women do all the time that men don't do, and that kind of sucks. Like, we should be better about that, you know?
Yeah,
we really should.
The whole dichotomy, like man and women, male and female. Americans, I don't know, because I can't speak for the rest of the world, but that whole role playing thing is a trip. I mean, especially like with your emotions and like
being masculine,
right, and what that means. And I remember like
how you approach your friends and your family in like the protective sort of sense,
right,
as a man. And
I remember kind of having
forget
like
about yourself in that sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, a self sacrifice thing.
Yeah,
that like In general, like men in America, for several generations, went to war.
For sure.
World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. There was like a thing, and men went to war and saw things and experienced things that
were terrible.
That were terrible, and that will mess you up.
Yeah.
And are messed up by it.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back, and that the way that it's dealt with, that they learn with, is they have to like compartmentalize themselves to go into that situation to be able to put it aside. You've got a job to do.
Like, you have to separate yourself from the rest of society.
You have to disassociate yourself
from
your emotions. Yeah, you couldn't allow yourself to like feel emotions, otherwise it would be overwhelming. You have a job to do. You have to go and fight or do whatever.
Absolutely.
And then when you come home, you know, you have all the stuff to deal with, and the thing that you've been taught is how to disassociate yourself from those emotions.
Yeah.
And so we have a whole generation of men who are the quiet, stoic type because they don't deal with their emotions, and that has come to define what men are. And then so that's when we're told, like, you know, man up. It's like means
right.
Like then
shoulder the pain.
Right. Shove the emotions aside.
Push it down.
Right, exactly.
You'll be fine.
Don't express. Don't feel. Don't
because
feel anything.
I asked my dad about this a lot because he was in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he wasn't like, you know, on the front lines. He was a helicopter mechanic, but he was out there. And I asked him about his friends and this and that, and the answers I get are, if I had to like compare it to what I've heard, you know, colloquially from other people or from like society,
right,
they're very verbose and very detailed. But for him as a person, I'm like, he's holding back. Like, he's not telling me everything, like, because I know my dad, and he's not telling me all the things. And it's tough to open up when you have this overarching expectation of this is how you should act when you're talking to other dudes and blah, blah, blah. And I look at him, and I watch him, like because, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm like, I'm woke. And I'm very much the kind of guy who listens to people wherever you come from, whatever your experience. Like, I truly give a shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear my own father talking about these things, and I hear him struggling to, like, articulate his feelings about that time, and it breaks me in half, man. Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's super tough. And it goes right back to the thing that we said. We've said this, like, two or three shows in a row, I think, when we got real. We're like, we should just really listen to people and really try and give a shit when people are talking about things that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Or don't, quote unquote, care about, which sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know, then how can you care? But we really need to take a step back and really listen to people and about their experience, about their lives, and just try and understand what people have been through to, you know, get it.
That's what's up.
This just in.
Oh my God.
With Rich Uplight.
And now I'm talking about entertainment.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Thanks for the warning, Jared.
Hey, you know how the show goes.
Fortunately for you, I have more
one headline.
I have several.
You have one headline.
So Disney Plus got hacked.
Interesting. I had not heard.
Really?
Uh-uh.
I hadn't heard that either.
Are you being for real?
Yeah,
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, I'm new. A lot of accounts on Disney Plus got hacked. And
Jared's account just got hacked.
From Disney Plus.
Perfect thing.
Just going to silence my phone now.
Reminds me.
Just going to silence my phone.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of customers on Disney Plus may have been hacked after signing up for the service in the initial sort of like hoopla of it all.
Huh.
In defense, though.
Here we go.
So I know Mikey's coming from the same perspective that I come from because we're both gaming people.
Yeah.
And we know that this happens when things are new. Right.
And yeah, I mean, because hackers will get keyloggers on your, on your computer, and they're going to wait for you to sign up for something.
Right.
And they'll have access to your password, and they'll use it at that moment.
Huh.
You know, they'll just let it sit there and wait until it's time. You know, you're like, oh, I can sell that account for some money. I will do that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
How much money?
You know, I looked everywhere to see, like, how much has the Disney Plus account sell for on the dark web, and I couldn't find any, like, concrete numbers.
It can't be that much. It's only $6.
It's
$6.
It's gotta be super cheap.
On the black, on the black market,
I can sell it to you
that.
For $4.
I paid for Hulu last month. I'm like, fuck, I fucked up. I should have just canceled it and waited a month.
Yeah.
Disney Plus you can get for like $12.99.
Yeah, $12.99 for all three. Yeah.
ESPN Plus.
It's stupid.
Hulu and that.
Well, that's lame. Stupid hackers.
And, you know, I get it. Like, it's the internet and you want to, like, do what you can. And I have this feeling that if there aren't people out there who are keeping it, like, sort of the Wild West a little bit, then companies won't try to rein things in, and then things get worse for the rest of us.
Right.
Which sort
Stupid
of makes
hackers.
Sense in my own logic.
So the hackers will inspire a
better
few
security.
More regulations
yeah, exactly.
that are going
right.
to kind of hold everything in place.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But there's another part of me that goes, well, if that was true, then the companies would be hiring the hackers to do that.
But don't they? I mean, don't all security
Some
places
them,
like are
I would imagine they all do, but I've heard, obviously, I've heard nothing about that because
I mean, who's
going to
hack? Yeah, who's
well,
going to hack other than a hacker?
You'll have companies offer what are called like bug bounties, which is basically...
If you can get in.
Yes, if you can hack into our software and let us know about it before you tell everybody else, we'll pay you for it. And so... in that regard,
that's gotta be a sweet gig if you're like into that.
Like Google,
that's just your
announced
whole thing.
Really,
like,
should have paid more attention to that one. Better at it.
Google just announced a bounty program. Like if you like, they set up this thing. Like I forget, it was about Chrome or whatever. Anyhow, I was just listening to an article about it on what was it, the Daily Tech News Show podcast, and they were just like, if you get like two sorts of circumstances, if you can bust in and have this, you know, both of these, like you're looking at like $1.5 million in bounty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm going to get on that.
Wow. Yeah. We all need to learn how to hack.
Learn code. Learn coding.
Have you tried that?
Can I do that with a iPad? It's about 15 years old.
I know basic 10.
Do you know C++?
20 go to 10.
Yeah. If X equals, then go to. Yeah. That's long gone.
In other news, a for real, and this is, I'm going to qualify this, and I can't believe this is happening because I really truly can't. A real and true Friends reunion in the works at HBO Max.
Okay.
HBO?
Yeah.
Because
HBO Max.
They own the rights to Friends.
Yeah.
They do?
Yes, they do.
They're starting their second streaming service.
For another $10 a month.
Called HBO Max, yes.
And that's because they own Cinemax.
I don't think
it has nothing to do with Cinemax.
It's like, hey, we bought this, and so don't you want to watch Friends? Well, we have it, and so you can watch it here.
But it's
not on HBO, so we have to put it somewhere.
Yep.
I think the Max is in a reference to Cinemax.
No, it has nothing to do with Cinemax.
Because doesn't HBO own Cinemax?
Sure,
I'm looking at
super don't.
Yeah, why Cinemax is by themselves. Yeah.
I thought that they had owned Cinemax, and that was for like different movies at different times, like so they could run and a little bit more artsy cinema stuff on Cinemax.
Fair point.
And they're always bundled together. If you ever notice that, you ever notice that?
I don't think
HBO Cinemax is always
Showtime sometimes in there though.
So I have one service as the odd man out. To Jared's point, if it's Showtime, it's like by itself.
Yeah.
Well, I have HBO and Cinemax together and not Showtime.
Because like Showtime has Stars or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they're all independent.
Because some of the they're owned by – because I think
they're
like –
they're all fucking with us.
Well, I think like some of them are owned by Universal, NBC Universal.
This is AT&T, HBO. Warner Media.
HBO and NBC are almost
– HBO is Warner Media?
It's under AT&T's Warner Media division.
It is.
Who also owns NBC.
But they don't own Cinemax. The same.
I can try to find that out.
We're not there yet.
Trevor,
I could be wrong, but you know,
right?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not pretty sure. I wouldn't.
You
I'm not
just
that
have
confident.
A hunch because it has the word Max in it.
Well, and that there's always been like they've always ridden together.
Right.
Let me get up on my high horse here. This is not Disney, but I'm with BJ on this point where we're getting to the point where everything is like consolidating. And my question to myself and to everyone is, how many separate services will you legitimately sign up for before you're like, eh?
Right. I'm done.
And I have not – I personally don't have Disney Plus yet.
Right.
I will. It's like, oh, I just paid for Hulu. Fuck.
Yeah.
I just got this.
I should have got it too.
Got the bundle, which I still can do, like next month. And I don't know what the line of delineation is between this is reasonable and this
it's
is
too much.
Too much. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
People are figuring that
it's
out
getting
now.
Getting there, yeah.
Yeah. People are like, oh, no, you know what? I got Netflix and Hulu, and that's really all I need. And like that's and they're fine living within those, which is fine too.
Well, and everyone's like, well, you know, once they come out with NBCs and this and that, well, it's just like having cable again.
Except
it's not just like having cable again.
Won't buy it.
Well, and not only that, but say you're just like, you know what, I'm gonna cut all the streamings out, and then I'm just gonna get cable. But then there's so many original properties that are only on the streaming services that you can't even get on cable. And it's like, why would anybody have cable? Like, legitimately. you're just going to start stacking up and paying for channels anyway, which is what cable is in the first place.
Because
it's like, get the extended channels. Yeah, but now you just pick and choose what you want.
Shows like The Office, and it's like, I know that Jared, more than anybody else at this table, you and Samantha are like me and Lindsay, where it's like,
yeah, just put
we're
going
to watch The Office.
Yeah,
like,
watch
The Office.
Absolutely.
But if it came down to signing up for a new service to watch it, you'd probably just let it go.
Yeah,
and
be
right?
like, well, whatever. Not going to watch that.
Yeah.
Just in the background.
Same.
It's like, I can put in a disc and watch one of the seasons I have on DVD. But streaming is convenient, and it's a matter of convenience. But it's like, you're not going to pay for 14 different streaming services that all cost $7 a piece. Then you're spending, you know,
cable
money.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my wonder is
what's the cap?
What's the thing that makes us all go, no?
The breaking point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of figuring that out now.
I
like, they're all like,
out. I know the answer.
But
Apple
I mean,
TV.
I know there's an 100% there's an individual line because we all have different services now.
Right.
And we have
and different priorities. Right.
Those, but I'm wondering if there's like a basic common thing where we all go, you know what? No. And we all say no, and we all break their idea of the future of streaming.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like,
I do
with,
know.
With,
tell me.
With you, well, then no need to tell you.
No, please do. Please do.
If you know, so, there, this Disney Plus thing, which has really been the hot news item of streaming entertainment over the past week and a half, 2 weeks.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
This Disney Plus. Yeah. Yeah, you know the Disney Plus I'm talking about. If that ran longer, I would go into a longer thing.
Yeah, you would.
When I'm thinking about it competing with Netflix and them, those competing, that Disney Plus is going to have a little ways to go, actually quite a ways to go. Netflix did the right thing by putting so much money into so much in original programming that they have such a wide variety of stuff to choose from, whereas Disney Plus only has a handful of original programs. And
you know,
then everything else that's not original programming at some point or another is going to kind of lose its luster. Like, well, I've seen Endgame 5 times. I don't really need to see these Marvel games.
Thank
again.
You, BJ, for playing right into my hand.
Part of the plan.
I would have 100% agreed.
Uh-huh.
And I now with 110% agree because Netflix and Nickelodeon are teaming up.
Right, which was the news last week,
to,
right?
To quote-unquote fight against Disney Plus.
Right, which is stupid.
But you know what?
Is it, though?
Yes.
Why is it stupid?
Because they don't need to fight each other. Like,
they do.
Exactly.
Like, they
don't, no, they
though.
Don't. No, please
Disney
talk.
Has
no,
proved
I'm
they
I'm
will
so
eat and they will eat and acquire everything given any opportunity.
Not everything, though.
Disney?
They won't.
Disney, are we looking at the same company? The company that has acquired
there's
everything?
There is a critical mass for them, though, and I think they're at it with what they have.
No,
they're not,
their critical
not,
mass
never
is
gonna,
every dollar on Earth.
But that's like not that. Possible, dude. I know you have this crazy theory where they're
every
the evil,
possible.
The super evil corporation, but it's not possible for that to happen.
Well,
The NBC Universals and Warner Brothers out there are never going to sell themselves to Disney. It's never going to happen, so there's always going to be a competitor, and it's just they aren't going to be able to buy everything. When they bought Fox, they took a gigantic loss. Things started failing left and right. Mm. And sure, they ended up owning the rights and the properties of the old stuff, but the new stuff was failing hardcore. And so it's like they took on a big loss, and sure, they own the company now, but it's like, okay, at what end? And they cannot just keep buying stuff. It happened a lot back to back with Star Wars, Marvel, or Fox. And so it seems like, oh no, they're out to get the world. And that's kind of true as far as the money aspect of it goes, but it's not a possibility for them to then become the media of the earth. It's not going to happen.
But Jared,
I hope not.
All of the restaurants are Taco Bell now.
Right. I would like to escort you to Taco Bell. But
like
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, like,
you violated course 3 of the verbal morality.
So them trying to fight Disney. Oh, no. Netflix has to fight Disney. It's like no one's jumping ship from Netflix to buy Disney. The only people that might be jumping ship are the lower income families that have kids, and they're like, you know what, it makes more sense for me to only pay $6 for Disney than it does to pay $12 for Netflix. So, and those people might jump ship, and just getting original programming from Nickelodeon isn't going to make them stay when Nickelodeon's also putting out their own streaming service too.
Well, I love this because you're both on like one or the other side. Very close to the middle, by the way. You're not like super separate.
Right.
On the same argument of WALL-E. Right?
Of the movie WALL-E?
Yeah. Where it's like one company takes over everything. And you're like, no, it won't just be one company. By and large. It'll be more than one company.
Right.
But there's a very real possibility that one company will buy everything and rule everything in the
Exactly. future. No. And which is something that I've railed about forever.
But. Mm-hmm. Enough people agree with you on that point where I don't think that will realistically happen. As this will be all over the table.
You're good.
Thank you. I don't think that will be a reality because enough people think the way Jared thinks, where we like the separation of, you know, we have Disney, we have Nick, we have
Netflix.
Thank you. Because where's the one other thing that's not the same thing anymore? Mm. And we don't want all of our things to be in one service because enough of the consumers, and I'm giving a lot of credit to our democracy right now, a lot of consumers understand that we need to have the separation of one company versus B company versus C company, where we can't just have one service because that's how they take advantage of the people and take all of our money.
I'm more worried that Amazon's going to rule the world than Disney.
Well, they're both very, very usual suspects.
Disney.
They're both suspects.
Disney's in the market of.
And Apple.
The media market. Disney is in the media market.
I mean, Disney has the strength right now, and Amazon is. If you were to compare all of them, Amazon is definitely angling. Like, they're not as strong, but.
But Amazon's future looks as bright as anyone now.
They have the best day-to-day business, I am certain. Like,
yeah.
Without looking up numbers or statistics.
Yeah.
I would bet money that they have the best outlook for sure.
In the same way, or maybe even worse, that Disney acquires and engulfs everything around it and makes it into its own self. Into Disney.
Right. Disney gets
Amazon
bigger.
Does the same thing in a way in that they do everything and they don't necessarily engulf the mom and pop, but they absorb all of their business and shove them aside.
See, that's the difference. Disney buys it and brings it into the family, so to speak, where Amazon just kicks it to the curb and goes, good luck. Oh, sorry. That's ours now.
We don't pay any taxes.
Right. And so Amazon, that's why I think Amazon is scarier than Disney because, again, it comes down to the media. And if Disney were to literally own the media, they buy NBC and they buy Warner Brothers and all this stuff, then, like, the only thing you're watching is Disney, and that's never gonna happen.
But do we know
the like weird propaganda like of that's like we're gonna only show you Mickey Mouse cartoons, ha 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 ha, and like this weird like thing? It's impossible.
That's an extreme, though. There are
quite literal laws in place for that to become a reality.
Well they could do a lot for themselves.
There used to be more laws to prevent that from happening. And then, like, the Telecommunications Act under Clinton.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Was one that, like, allowed these. It used to be you couldn't own more than one media outlet.
Can we hit
a
tangent for that? By the way?
We're on a tangent.
Please push the button for me. Tangent train. There's this sentiment that the liberals, you know, are 100% behind Bill Clinton and everything that he did. And I'm gonna stoke BJ's fire right here because I see him under this track. Because we don't super agree with the way he handled, like, the FCC and the media and the way that he handled all that. Because he gave them a ton of power.
Yes.
And
the reason Disney can do what they do now.
Culpability.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Under his administration. He made those decisions. And there are some out there who would have you think that people on this one side are like, oh, the liberals don't want us to do this, but they all totally okayed blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we were against that back when it happened. Yeah. Like, we didn't like that idea, and we still don't. And I don't think anybody wants any one industry or company to have so much power that BJ has been so much
railing against
for Disney having, which they super do have on this program. And I can't think of another company that has the kind of power that they have right now.
Disney?
In our media.
In the media?
I really can't.
Not like them.
Name a news program that you watch.
Yeah, so like Universal has, you know, a handful. They have like MSNBC and NBC.
But
they don't make movies MSNBC? In the same league as far as Disney. I mean, they do. Universal Studios makes movies. But they don't – they're not – they were comparable to 20th Century Fox, you know, and like the ones that did get absorbed, you know, and it's not ridiculous to assume that they will acquire and absorb any competition. Yeah. And I think that that's a product of this capitalist mindset
and
without any regulations in it that used to have more regulations.
And that mindset and the technology behind it has led into just sort of the ease for them. Like, they don't have to do a lot of work to get, one, our information, and two, our feelings on how the information on the internet and our consumption of that should go. Because we've just been willingly giving it to them for the past fucking decade.
Yeah. Super expensive, valuable data.
Yeah.
That
here you go.
They know exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's free.
They know exactly. But yes.
Do
but
you
now,
agree to these terms and conditions? I sure do.
For sure. I didn't read them, but I agree.
Yeah. As long
sure
as I can
do.
Get to the clip.
Yeah.
There.
I sure do agree.
I can't remember the name of the company, but there's one company who's like, there's some part in the terms and conditions where if you read the whole thing, you can win like $10,000 or something. And like literally
one person.
It's like, oh, I saw this. I'm like, oh, here you go. Here's your 10 grand.
That's funny.
Because only one person saw it. Because we don't.
I'm still not going to read my.
I'm not trying to like talk down on people. Right. I'm not going to do that either because I'll do
it's
whatever
ridiculously
it is
long
for me. Yeah. But I feel like we should all think once or twice before we.
Well, and not only that, be willing and ready to like acknowledge and recognize abuses of power.
I wish
and
you
be
had
able
to fight
to,
the power button.
And be able to walk away. It. Same way with Facebook.
Fight the power!
Oh! Oh
snap! Snap!
I knew you did.
Power and equality. Yeah, I'm out to get it. I know some of you ain't with it.
On a slightly more comical note of news,
do it.
I have one bit of news.
News.
Real quick and before we change
oh,
gears.
Yes, go ahead.
I have 1,000 more years of news on my phone right now.
I owe BJ
so
an apology.
Wait, OBJ?
Here we go.
Apparently Cinemax is owned by HBO.
What?
And was
what?
Created
what?
By HBO.
What?
I did not know this.
I did not know
see,
this either.
You know who didn't doubt it? Jared. Because Jared knows. He knows
no
these things.
Expressions change
he knows this. These things.
Pretty sure.
Yep. Yep. I was like,
so I
you can look it up. I'm pretty
so
sure.
Sorry.
I could be wrong.
However, HBO Max doesn't. It's not called that because of Cinemax.
No. How do we know?
Because it's not.
How do we know?
Because there's a Cinemax streaming that you can get. It's called Cinemax.
Skinemax.
But anyway, slightly more comical note of news. Did anybody see the Cybertruck unveiling from Tesla?
I know someone who already bought one.
What?
Like put the money down? They don't get
my
it. It's
gosh.
Not ready yet, right?
No, it's not. They've already pre-ordered it.
You know how you can tell it's not ready? Here, try and break this unbreakable window. Shatter.
Break.
Well, crap.
Oh,
try it again.
Shit.
Shatter. Well, that's not supposed
God
to happen.
God damn
and then
it.
Elon's like, well, it didn't go all the way through. That's a plus, I guess. It's like, awkward.
And, well, and they came out like a day or two, or I think it was the next day. They're like, oh, by the way, that one, we've been testing that hundreds of times.
How
so.
It's faulted.
Oh. We didn't put that in the model yet.
So awkward.
I was wondering how it's a truck. I'm like, how is this a truck?
It's not.
The back of it folds up and you
so,
get
it's a transformer.
Yeah, so I wanted to see it
super
happening. I thought like maybe
not.
It popped up, but it rolls.
Yeah,
like
it
rolls
down.
Open. But
and
apparently
and
it's a very small
and
bed.
It can become a ramp too, so you can like drive stuff into the back of it, like the whole thing.
Oh, that!
But it's the stupidest thing I have ever seen.
The design
in my life.
The design is so unappealing.
Yes.
Like there's no aesthetic qualities to it. That like make
it's
you think
so
it's no, it's 80s,
anyone's expression.
It's 1980s post-apocalyptic.
Exactly, it's
awesome
someone's idea.
Car.
It's someone's idea of a futuristic car. Yeah, we're gonna make the future now.
It's so dumb.
So I have some depressing news.
Oh,
I was done with news.
Skip.
No, there's
save
so
it.
Much more.
Save it for later. We have a movie review to get to.
Here's a case in which the internet won with the Sonic the Hedgehog redesign.
Yes.
It was redesigned.
No more human teeth.
And it costs the company $5 million.
That's crazy.
To redo it.
To make these changes.
Okay. Wow.
But it looks so much better.
It does look so much better.
It looks so much better.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and this is the BJ part of me. All
right.
I wonder how much of this was deliberate.
What do you
because
mean?
Just to get
this,
people to talk about it.
Because before this, who would really care about a Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Right. Well, and
outside of the fans.
And people are saying, like, make sure to go see it now because you caused an uproar.
You made this happen.
So now you better go support them for doing what you wanted.
Right. The internet asks and the company answers. Now we are, quote unquote, obligated
to go see it.
This movie.
Now, right. are you thinking that the whole thing was a sham? Like they had...
I have my tinfoil hat on.
Right.
I think it started from the beginning where like we're going to release this terrible design. People will react, they will lambast it, and the internet will burn down.
I don't
and
think
then
that
we'll,
that's
then we'll mea culpa and say, "Oh, look what we did. Now we made it better." And everyone will be like, "Oh, you made it better." And
we made it better.
Yeah, right? We'll all pay them money.
I'm typically not on the conspiracy train. But I'm on this
right? Right?
Like, because just looking at the initial design,
it makes so
it's
much,
like, how did you legitimately think that this is a good design?
Who got
in the modern era of technology and cartoons and how things look?
Thank you.
How did you think that this is what Sonic looks like?
No but, legitimate artist saw that. I was like, you know what? That's good. Let's put that
and
out there.
And right now,
right
the
now,
guy
yeah.
Steve, who designed the original ones, in his bathroom crying about to like kill himself.
Aww.
And it's like, we're sorry, guy, but
paid.
It was garbage.
I think you all give them way too much credit. I think
yeah, like,
they
it's possible.
Blew it big
they,
time.
Yeah, they can blow it. Yeah,
I'm not saying that's impossible.
Yeah, they're capable of blowing it.
I am certain that they're totally capable of like screwing the pooch.
I don't
making
see
it look terrible and releasing it, and the
so
people
you
are
think,
like, no. But I'm equally on the train with like. They did it
on
purpose.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm 50-50.
I can
this.
See it.
50-50. I could see it. I could see that too. Yeah, I'm not as emotionally invested into an outcome, which I, if I am, I would be like, they did that. And I would be like, you know, like, I'm
ooh,
telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. You watch. HBO owns Cinemax. You'll see. Watch.
So, yeah.
I'm pointing the table. Yeah, knock on wood if you're with me. All right.
Oh, thank you, John. Don't get me started on that shit. So I have sad Disney Plus news.
More sad news?
I thought news is over.
All right, no. Go ahead.
Last, this is the last one.
Last one, no matter what.
We literally have an hour to go, and it's 47 minutes in.
Disney Plus ruined X-Men.
How's that? Explain.
The 90s X-Men
the cartoon.
By
their poor...
Widely loved and lauded.
Because of their framing?
By scheduling the episodes out of order.
Really?
Oh, but that's just an error.
Yeah.
Same thing with DuckTales or whatever. There's an error too.
Yeah,
like
they
can
fix
but
it.
They're
this
fixing
is the
it.
Same,
yeah.
This is the thing that Fox also did when they were aired in the later seasons, like three, four, and five. There were certain episodes that were scheduled out of order, and Disney Plus has maintained that wrong order.
Right when they put them out on TV, they were in the wrong order, and everyone's like, "What the hell is happening?" And yeah,
so if you search this,
your whole company's a mess.
If you care about this and you're looking for it, you can find the correct order on the Google. I care about it because I fucking love.
But that they didn't ruin it; they just put it out as is.
It's the same thing that killed Firefly, though.
I was about to say Fox did that to Firefly.
They did that to Firefly, and
just put them in the right order. Come on, guys.
Which is weird.
Which is weird because you think like.
Why not? Right?
They're in a they're numbered. Okay,
yeah.
First one.
It's numbered.
No,
then,
but like in the case of Firefly,
then four. I don't know. Whatever.
No, Fox was like, "Oh, you need no. This isn't the right opening.
We need to put the
we
heist
need the
first.
Heist. Yeah, we need an
the
action
exciting train heist.
Yeah,
first.
Boo.
Like character building. We're not bitter. Thank
unless
you,
it's
Mikey
yeah.
We're on the same page.
Unless it's written that way, where you see the sub, big action
forever.
First. Is part of it, and then they purposely like go back.
Take
in
my
time.
Love, take my hand.
Yep.
Take my around, kind of sand.
And that's the way it was.
That's me.
So sweet. But let's check out what Matt Warburton has to say.
And now another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hi, friends, family, and all our loved ones in the world. I thought since. The time for giving thanks is right around the corner. I talk about a movie that covers friends, family, and one of my favorite sandwich ingredients. Today, I'll be talking about Jared's favorite movie, The Peanut Butter Falcon. For some reason, I thought Shia LaBeouf did way more than just star in this movie. I'm not sure why. I mean, he didn't even produce it. I was going to give Shia a bigger kudos, but he'll have to share that tasty treat with writers, directors Tyler Nilsson and Michael Schwartz, and of course, the countless of producers and fine cast of this film. So The Peanut Butter Falcon is the story of Zach, played by Zach Gottsagen, who has Down syndrome, no family, and breaks out of the senior living home that he's being kept in to pursue his dream of becoming a wrestler. Zach gets himself mixed up in the dastardly life of Tyler, played by Shia LaBeouf, who is in a fishing boat scuffle after he committed a bit of light arson. Meanwhile, Zach's care specialist or provider, Eleanor, played by Dakota Johnson, is on the chase to get him back out of concern for him. And also, if she doesn't get him, she's fired. So there's a lot of stakes all around. This becomes what is an unlikely friendship between all three of them that gives you the warm feelies all over. To be completely honest, aside from Zach Gottsagen, I was not excited about any of these leads in this movie. I was totally in the Shia LaBeouf hater group. I'm not sure why, it just seemed like over the years he got up his own butt. And Dakota Johnson did the 50 Shades movies, which the fact that it was Twilight fanfic being turned into movies made me sick because there's so much more interesting stuff to put out there. So to me, Dakota Johnson was basically Diet Kristen Stewart. By the way, if this review sounds super judgy, it's because it is. But I want to show you where I was coming from and how much this movie flipped things for me. I was casting 50 Shades over these actors, and they did so magnificently. I have a newfound respect for them. There was so much chemistry from everyone and honesty and heart. This movie really dragged me into it. There was also a lot of moments with honest-to-goodness humor in it. The story was very cathartic and showed how people can change and become friends in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. The wrestling part was fun. They even explore the world of backyard wrestling. They even got pro wrestlers to act in this movie, like Mick Foley and Jake the Snake Roberts. Not as their characters, which was actually pretty cool because you got to see how their acting chops were as well. The one actual critique I have of this movie is that the ending felt a little rushed, like they didn't take the time to really land the plane. But other than that, the whole movie was really, really well done in every aspect, and a blemish or two in a movie like this is well worth it. I think the studios should for sure take more chances on art house movies like these. But that's just my opinion. I say, go make up yourself a delicious PB and Falcon sandwich, and check this out on Amazon, iTunes, or wherever movies are sold because, hey, what do I know? Next time, I'm going to be majorly stepping in it because I'm reviewing the Disney Company's most regretted creation, Song of the South. Until next time, yeah. I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Happy Thanksgiving!
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
Tune in next week, I guess.
Super look forward to that.
Tune in next week.
I can't wait to hear
oh,
that.
Now, you want to see Peanut Butter Falcon, though. Like, yes. That was like,
did you not watch it?
I have not.
It is on Amazon.
Yeah, he said it's Amazon. It is. iTunes, yeah. I think, put it out, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but yeah.
It had a brief, like, theatrical release?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In select cities, probably, because right. It's an indie flick and stuff, so.
I'm sure it was released here because we have one of those.
Yeah.
Sort of
now,
things.
I saw Shia LaBeouf movie that it seems to be like he gets advertised and promoted on my feed.
Honey Boy?
More than a lot of people. So, Honey Boy's recent.
Yeah.
But a lot of
that's
his
like
movies.
His story.
That's what I hear. Yeah. And I'm kind of curious about that.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah. And I wanted to see the Peanut Butter Falcon too.
Yeah.
But I did watch one. Where he was played John McEnroe. I don't know if you ever got that feed in
Ooh,
your thing.
Borg versus McEnroe.
Borg versus McEnroe,
yeah.
with Shia LaBeouf.
I didn't watch it, but I wanted to watch it.
I did watch it, yeah. and it was pretty good. It was good, especially because that was like something that I used to watch those matches. Like, I was Bjorn Borg, crazy, and McEnroe. Yeah. Just good stuff. But Shia LaBeouf, yeah, man. I'm like, you know.
I'm going to ask you, he's moving the needle. I'm going to ask you a political question.
All right, me up.
About sports and movies, or mostly sports. But do you feel there's a legitimate difference in the way that sports, like tennis, evaluate women versus the way they evaluate men? Like in a movie versus a movie like Borg versus McEnroe, you have two men who have big personalities, who talk a lot and who argue, calls.
Particularly one guy, like one of those
fervently?
Two.
Is that the
yeah.
word?
Yeah,
with passion,
right?
And it's like, oh, they're a great competitor, and that's just what they do,
right?
And for me, I have a different answer for this. I'm sure Jared has a different answer for this, and Mike probably has a different answer too for sports. But how do you feel about when a competitor sort of breaks the line of their sport and becomes a person in that, arguing their point of view regarding like penalties and things like that? Like, are you like, oh, this is cool, like they're a real person, or you're like, oh, they shouldn't do that? Or...
I have a long, long history of this, and specifically in
because it's happened forever.
Yeah, in tennis, and generally there are characters who kind of rise to the forefront, and they usually have to be good, otherwise you don't get any attention.
Sure.
But it's never their behavior has never been looked at as positive.
Right.
Like Borg was never really that big of a complainer. But Jimmy Connors was big time. And I remember, like, he had a resurgence like late in his career, and I got on board with him later in his career, cheering him along. But McEnroe was always that way, and he was always viewed as a spoiled brat. And my sports hatred for him was as strong as I've ever had for anyone ever.
That was one of my earliest sports hatreds.
Yeah.
And I was like very little.
Yeah, really strong.
This guy sucks because he's super.
Yeah, he's a jerk. But,
right.
Man, you know, I see him now in interviews and stuff like that, and he's likable.
He's a guy.
He's a dude, and he's like, you know, and, you know, this is not to your point, but man, he used to put so much effort into every single thing, and I remember appreciating
that.
That's
super my point,
though.
Yeah. Because that's what I – and
He's passionate, and it carries over.
I feel like the same thing applies because there was the whole thing with Serena Williams and the way that she was treated when she was very passionate about the calls that she got in her like most recent championship. And it was attributed to her, like, she's a woman and she's a black woman and this and that, whatever.
They're both true.
Which they're both true. Those are both true.
And the bias against –
the bias is real.
Yes.
But a part of me is like, okay, that's real, but how much have like passionate competitors been treated that same way in the same sport? So I tried to like objectively view, like I went back and I watched some old championships. I watched not the movie Borg versus McEnroe, but the actual like match.
Right.
Because it's available. You can watch it on YouTube if you want to. And just to see how judges like judge these guys. And if it indeed was similar, like the organization claims, or if it was not similar the way that she claims.
Right.
And I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Did you notice any noticeable difference?
Not really, because they treated the guys like, look, you shouldn't.
They're kind of quiet, and they kind of take the abuse.
This is not the sport.
Yeah.
And they got lambasted for it probably more lightly than she did, but not in this. Not in this sort of overt, like, you're violating my civil rights kind of way that I felt like it was portrayed recently.
Hmm.
You know? And I'm very much for, obviously, fairness in sports, regardless of black or white.
Right.
Or you're straight, blah, 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 whatever. But to think that you can be at the top of the game and go out there and perform at the highest level and have calls go so wrongly against you and talk out against them and to be misinterpreted seems crazy to me. Like, there's no reason for that, right? Like, at that high of a level, it should be, for lack of a better word, perfect.
Huh.
Like, the calls, especially when it's hindsight in 2020, when we have the opportunity to look back and go to make the narrative, the media narrative, we should be doing this absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. So why is the athlete feeling like she wasn't treated correctly?
I don't know.
That's
a hard,
my question.
It's tough answer, and it's also like
that's why I asked the question.
She doesn't have the perspective of anyone else necessarily. She has kind of like her perspective of what it looks like other people are being treated.
Yeah.
Treated. She also doesn't have any perspective of other than being a black woman and probably and definitely having that experience color her experiences every time as well. So it's interesting. I think that probably there is some probably carryover bias that just happens through culture and society. But I bet you, as far as the judges and the way that they're doing the thing, for the most part, they probably feel like they're being fairly consistent. And I couldn't say from my experience, like, no, they're not. They're worse to her. It's hard to say. I don't know.
When you, like, where you end up there, like, for lack of a better word, like, this is what they do. I feel the same way. Like, they're not overtly trying to, like, have a negative viewpoint on
the black
players. As they would say, athletes who do not, quote-unquote, look like them.
Right.
Like, they're trying to have the viewpoint that they have had for a long time. They're trying to maintain the status quo because that's what works, what is proven to have worked, quote-unquote, worked. And I personally don't feel that she was particularly called out or singled out or targeted for being as overt or as vocal or as...
I think the media was trying to make more of a story out of it than...
Yeah.
I think there actually was.
Yeah, this could be a race thing.
Yeah,
and
look
then
what
it's
we
like,
can put in the right. in the public eye right now. Look how they're treating her kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, let's take a quick commercial break.
Oh.
What?
I got the song for you.
What?
What's the song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the wrong one. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Call you that. I can't remember what What you watching?
My car is in the front yard. sleeping with my clothes on.
Yeah.
I saw a fantastic movie.
Yes, what film?
Explain.
Parasite.
Okay. I saw you posted that on your Instagram story.
It is a Korean film. And, how do I describe this without spoiling it? It is a film about class.
Sure.
And it's a dramedy. It's subtitled, so be prepared for that.
Sure.
But it's so good.
Nice.
It is so, so good.
And turns out,
this did not win the best foreign picture Oscar, I will be surprised.
Turns out, humans are the parasite of Earth. There you go. I just ruined the whole movie for everybody.
Well done. You're not far off.
He's not.
I know.
No, he's super nice.
Based on the movie poster, it looks like that's what's kind of happening.
So and that's
a theme. That's a theme that's been happening.
That's more than I'm talking about because I watched no trailers because that's
what you do.
Well, normally I watch one, but for things that are super obscure, I was like, oh, let's go in blind. Like, just go watch the movie because I've heard.
Big mistake. But
from people that I trust, I've heard that it's good. And I knew nothing about this movie. I basically went on Beth Accomando's recommendation because I trust her implicitly because she's smart and knows.
She's great.
Yeah.
And wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Cool. Where did you see it?
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd you see it?
The Landmark in Hillcrest.
At a theater, no doubt.
A real theater.
Yeah.
But it's still at the AMC in La Jolla and a couple of other AMCs in our area, but it's so worth it.
Nice.
Right on.
The acting is, like, it's, again, all in Korean subtitled, but the acting is, you would almost not, if you spoke, I can't even describe this. I'm so excited about this movie. Like, it's weird. You can read it and look at it, and the way they deliver the dialogue fits just so, so well with the translation that you're like, if I was just watching this and had no translation,
you feel like
I would still kind of get it.
Right.
Like, the actors are so good.
That's cool.
So, so good.
That makes me happy.
And the story is great.
It also makes me happy that you went to the Landmark to watch it because all I've been watching is Disney Plus.
By the way, that theater is awesome.
So good on you for
Landmark is an awesome theater.
Seeing the indie foreign film while I'm over here watching Mandalorian 8 times in a row.
I mean, we balance out, you know.
Swiss Family Robinson again?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, please.
Yeah, go if here. You are in any way into the movies, seeing the theater, any movies especially, please go see this movie because it is 1,000% worth it.
Nice. And then when you park in the parking lot, the elevator up to the theaters is a great place for your first kiss with your wife to be. Yeah.
Oh, is that where you had your first kiss with her?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's nice.
So cute.
Yep.
I had to go back up because I forgot to validate my parking.
You just want to sneak another kiss.
We got in the car. I'm like, fuck.
Dang it.
Disney Plus. So what are you watching?
Oh, The Mandalorian. I mean, we kind of touched on it last week a little bit, but it was like the hype was still there, and now there's been 3 episodes.
So the colloquial, like, I guess, misconception. They're like, oh, it's Baby Yoda, and it's like, it's not because this show takes place.
I was trying to get the timeline right.
No one thinks that's who he is. That's what you have to call it.
You're overestimating how stupid people are.
No, I thought it was the Yoda. Like, this is there the Yoda.
Go. Not that you're stupid.
No. Oh, wow. I'm not saying that you are.
Because this takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Well, that's why I was
spoiler alert. I guess
I was confused.
Spoiler alert.
But. Oh yeah, yeah. But he was born what 80 years ago?
50.
800 years.
Was it 50?
In The Mandalorian.
That's why I was trying to get that timeline down.
That maybe thing.
Yeah.
So he was
at Return of the Jedi. Yoda was like almost 900 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's super not Yoda.
Right. But my general understanding of it is that
Sergeant
is that because there is no race, like there's not a name of the race that is the being of whatever they are.
I think there is in like the extended universe.
Nope, it does not exist. The name of that race that Yoda is does not exist. So the thing doesn't have a name and it looks like Yoda. Therefore, people call it
Baby Yoda.
And if you haven't seen the show or you've just seen the spoilers that the internet is rampant with, for some reason, with this show. Apparently, the internet doesn't give a shit about spoilers anymore with this show for some reason. Because, A, it's not even out in the UK yet, and everyone over there already knows this thing exists.
Aww. And it's like Baby Yoda? Yeah,
And they've heard the term Baby Yoda already. And so everyone's like, ooh, what's that? And so they already go in with it thinking that there is a quote-unquote Baby Yoda. And so it ruins it for people because you hear the term Baby Yoda.
I hate it.
And so that's why it's like, spoiler alert, people, no one gives a shit for some reason with spoilers for this show.
Yeah, I hate that.
In that aspect. I haven't seen any story spoilers, but the memes, the GIFs, all of it about Baby Yoda being a thing and look how cute it is. It's like the internet shut up for once, please. Like, everyone did a really good job with Game of Thrones. Everyone did a really good job with Endgame. Like, all these things, like, the internet was doing a good job for spoilers, and then Mandalorian comes out, and at the end of the episode, they show a cute little Baby Yoda-looking thing, and then tomorrow, there's, like, 10 gazillion pictures of it on the internet.
Guess what the package is?
Right. And it's like, come on, internet. What are you doing? It's only released in the United States right now. No other country has Disney Plus yet. I don't know why they're delaying it, but they are. And so that aspect of the show is spoiled everywhere else but here.
So, devil's advocate. Because Jared can't be devil's advocate because he's already at this point. I will watch it regardless and probably enjoy it regardless.
Right.
And knowing all of that.
Right. It has zero.
Not right. Hurt it or impact it for me.
It doesn't at all. Yeah. Like, it doesn't, other than the fact that at the end of the first episode of a series, because there's going to be multiple seasons, so the first episode of a series, you know that there is a thing that looks like Yoda.
And that's
the only thing that you know. And it's not, you know.
This is the opposite of cancel culture. It's blow-up culture, where you find out one small piece of information about something that everyone's going to guaranteed love me into.
Right.
And we just run with it to the winds.
Because it's so cute.
It
really is really cute.
I'm going to have to guess that they intended most of us or a lot of us to think that it's Yoda.
I don't think so.
Well,
because
you're a fan of the series, like a nerd, super nerd of the series, like I am. I'm not even a super nerd, but like, you know that he's dead.
I'm a super
nerd. Like, and you've also seen his Force ghost in the newer movies, which means he's real dead,
super dead.
So in Last Jedi, when he shows up and talked to Luke Skywalker as a Force ghost, he gone. Like, we saw him die. Like, he can't come back.
One of my first benefit of the doubt that I give to movie studios is that they don't think the audience is stupid. So when it comes to like a series like this, like they don't think that we're stupid, so that we all know that Yoda's dead. Like, anyone who's watching this show should know Yoda's dead.
Right.
Because if they know the timeline, they should know he's
dead. But you have to know those details that aren't necessarily out there. Like, like, if you just turned on the show without knowing anything, you're like, ooh, I like Star Wars, that's great. But if you don't know when the story takes place, if you haven't looked up the timeline and you start watching it, it looks like a Western, so it looks, quote, older than you would imagine it to be.
Uh-huh.
You don't think it takes place after Return of the Jedi because you think that this is a prequel, especially in the way that they've released the movies. In your mind, you would maybe think, oh, this is a prequel. And then they show you a little baby thing that looks like Yoda. So I can understand if you don't know where that falls in the timeline, why you might think it's Yoda. But me knowing when it took place before I started watching it, I was like, there's no way.
Right. But
do you think that timeline had any aspect of you thinking it was Yoda? Or were you not thinking about that?
I glanced at a real brief thing that said about where this takes place. Like,
sure.
And it was so brief that I didn't commit it to memory or anything. Right. And I know that it wasn't like the most recent time.
Right.
So it was clearly something that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that, and I don't remember, and maybe there is in one of the, there always is, and I never really notice it, but I'm assuming they refer to Mandalorians at some point in the show or in the movie, in the storyline.
I mean.
And they call them that?
Here's me, nerdy.
Yeah. If you go the cartoons
like
a lot,
extended
too.
Universe the cartoons and all that stuff, like the armor is Mandalorian armor, and there's all this extra information about all of that stuff.
There's a lot of lore
clan or whatever that captures, that's the captures Han Solo, right?
Boba Fett wears Mandalorian armor. He's technically not a Mandalorian, but yes.
Can we take a tangent train on this, by the way?
Okay, do we need to?
Yeah. Maybe sort of. Boba Fett sucks. Like, the fans are like, Boba Fett's the best, blah, blah, blah. Like, he does nothing
but
in these movies.
All he does is look cool.
People love Boba Fett.
He looks cool. That's it.
The Mandalorian looks
do anything.
Cool. Mandalorian looks
right.
Bad.
He doesn't do anything.
He catches Han Solo.
He does
with
one
help
thing.
From Darth Vader.
He does one thing.
Then he gets fed
and
to
then
the
he
monster.
He dies like a bitch.
I just watched that movie.
I
Jedi.
Maybe I'm
yeah.
like,
and then I didn't realize
removed.
That they re-edited it and put bitch-ass Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
Oh,
and I was
you didn't
like,
know about that.
I was like, what the fuck
were
is this?
Were you furious? Yeah. Like,
well,
I
okay.
Was,
so did not... that mean that they redid the cantina scene with the band? Because that felt like it was a little bit different.
Where
the band is singing.
Expanded on that scene. Yeah.
And they have the girl with the lips right.
yeah,
stick
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the kind of.
Her name is Snoodles. Get
and then
right.
the dude who's clearly like a.
Jared,
Cab Calloway.
Trivia, please. Yeah,
that's impressive.
Because I can name the droids, you can name her. We'll yeah. we'll clean up.
I could. I
don't
tell you Mandalorian's a real term.
Yeah, so. Especially if you watch like Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Or if you've read any of like the cartoon books.
But I just felt like that was like tagged on. Like when I saw the first time I saw the extra scene with Jabba the Hutt and Han Solo,
where he walks over the tail.
I'm like
garbage.
This is dumb.
So. Ooh, yes. Great, great segue. I was talking to a friend yesterday about this. Do you feel like some of the magic of Star Wars is gone because we have more information now?
I think that it's inevitable that it's going to be less and less every time. Like,
I don't
as time goes
think
on.
So.
Jared says no.
I
Mikey P's got a he's got a take, man. He's got
Mikey,
a, well,
please.
He's got a
yes,
hot take.
I'm just I think that you explore more and more of the universe. Like, I mean, when I went to Disneyland and went to Galaxy's Edge,
yeah.
I'm like, I am all in.
Sure.
Give me more of this.
Give me more.
I'll eat it all up.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as they don't do stupid stories, I'm gonna be there.
And that is a fantastic point that I think of. It's there are movies that have like concise storylines, and then there are movies that create a universe
yes.
where you can talk about almost anything, and you can make almost any story that
I don't,
could be good.
I don't think
Star
they.
Star Wars is one of those.
I don't
me.
Think knowing more can ruin the magic of it,
sure.
but it can taint the waters a little bit when you're watching Solo, a Star Wars story, and they're like, "What's your name?" And he's like, "Han, what's your last name?" "Don't have one. I'm by myself."
Solo.
Lame. So you can muddy the waters a bit by the stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
But like.
That was added in.
Oh,
like,
no, that was
part of the
movie.
Solo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie, Solo.
Yeah,
right,
the
right,
one
right.
that nobody cares about. But like, it's,
I love
I like
that
it.
One.
I think it's great. It's fun.
There are parts of the movie that are super
yeah,
low.
It's a lot of fun. It's a cool
yeah.
heist film, and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
But. As far as like learning
the
more stuff about goes. Star Wars, it's yeah. like you can muddy the waters if you have a dumb concept thrown in there.
Yeah.
It's like, just make his name Solo. Like, why does it have to be? Because like, there shouldn't be a reason for it. Just
because he
Han Solo
easily it said Solo. Okay, first name Han.
Right,
and that could have been
yeah
the
end.
Yeah. It didn't have to be a joke right there.
Right.
We didn't need a joke right there.
And so you can muddy the waters, but I don't think you can ruin the magic by learning more stuff. Because when you go and if you decide to watch Rebels or you decide to watch why am I blanking on the other one?
Clone
I just
Wars.
Said Clone Wars. Where if you watch
you,
them,
baby.
I just said it too. It's weird. But if it's you okay. go and watch those, you're just like, oh, this is cool.
Are you talking
and if you go and you watch
CG Clone Wars or OG Clone Wars animated by the same guy who did Dexter's Lab?
Ooh, I haven't seen that one. I've only seen
oh
CG.
Oh, my God,
one.
It's so good.
Nice. The same show, just different animation or what?
No, the show's so different.
Oh, gotcha.
Super different stories. Super. Mikey, you've seen it, right?
No.
I haven't. I didn't even know it existed.
This is, okay. Oh, my God, another tangent. Star Wars tangent. This is the thing that made me not hate the prequels, but made me appreciate them less, because if you watch the original animated Clone Wars, like, they show, and this is a very specific episode, but there's an episode where Mace Windu fights an entire droid army by himself.
Sure.
And wrecks
and
them
yeah.
because he's a fucking Jedi.
Right.
Because that's what they should do. And you watch that, and the movie comes out, and you're like, wow, the Jedi are lame in comparison. And it just...
And
the
so
two
that
together don't work.
And that's another thing that kind of muddies the waters is the prequels, where I enjoy the prequels, and I think Attack of the Clones is underrated. It looks like garbage.
What?
Like, don't get me wrong.
It is garbage.
It looks like garbage, but the story.
Sand.
But the story and sure the story yeah you
it
take out
everywhere.
The one terrible acting scene by Hayden Christensen and it's not that bad.
There's
but
a couple.
But the story is there and like everyone hates them because they're like ugh, these are dumb political movies and I wanted to watch Star Wars
no
not friggin' C-SPAN
I
in
agree
space
with you. The framework
but,
is there
but the story's good but then they can muddy it by going like oh midichlorians that's how he's here and like and you're like okay we didn't need to know that he could have just been an Immaculate Conception great whoop-de-whoop and then you find out maybe later that Palpatine kind of did had something to do with that in theory but it's like and knowing the end you know you see Anakin and you're like oh dude I know what's coming and so like it's cool to learn more because in your mind you're like dude Darth Vader he's badass
fill in the blanks
and so when you're watching it and you're learning more it's like yeah this is cool so I don't think it ruins it by learning
I
more.
Think it can actually enhance it you know if you're a big fan and you just get a more complete sense of what's going on and why
right
then I mean same with Game of Thrones or anything.
Anything.
Like when
yeah.
you know all those families and you know, you just have a higher appreciation of it all.
And you can dive into it when you're like, ooh, let's watch the, you know, the pre-man era of Lord of the Rings and, like, let's see what's going on. Like, you're not going to ruin
that's
it.
That's the thing. Super duper going to watch that. You won't ruin
it. Like, you're not
going to
ruin it.
Unless, and...
Like, if they try to change something...
Retcon.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, like, if the prequel movies came out and Anakin Skywalker...
That, number one. Number two, I don't want to go down this road, but... How many of you have rewatched, I don't know, any episode of Game of Thrones since it ended?
Since it ended, I have watched zero. But leading up to it, I've watched,
watched
all of
them. I've watched a couple.
Since
like,
it ended?
Put it on, like, earlier seasons.
Mikey?
Haven't touched it since the
I feel
finale.
Like
they
the
ruined
majority
it?
Of people have not watched any episode since it ended because it sort of ruins all of it the way that it ends.
Time
can,
will tell.
Yeah, I can kind of maybe see that, but I don't think so.
Eagerly awaiting the book.
It's the
so.
Same way I feel about How I Met Your Mother.
Sure. Sure.
A show that I used to love.
Where the end is just...
Yeah, the end is...
Yeah.
And I go back to watch any of it. I'm like, I just don't care.
Right.
Because I know
where it goes. Right?
Yeah, but...
And I've never felt that way about any other story or property, even that I know that it ends, and I know that it ends not necessarily badly, but... Like substantially, like less than what I expected. I've never felt that way about anything else the way that I feel about Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
but never.
But watching Star Wars and them adding more to it and more to it and continuing the story, like if
I don't feel that way about Star Wars.
But if the, no. so, but here's the thing: if they're like in the future, there's like here's more Game of Thrones. Like this is what happens after the end of season 8, and then it's like, okay, let's see what happens with Jon Snow up there. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens with Brandon Stark. Let's see what happens. Then you'd be reinvested. You might not be like, ooh, Daenerys, like, woohoo, but you'd be reinvested to find out, oh, there's more. Let's see what happens.
Maybe.
And so it's like with Star Wars, we're like, ooh, there's more. Let's see what happens. Because they're not going back and prequeling it. Like, if they prequel it and they show you... You know,
but
the Mad King.
And do it super well,
right.
a.k.a. Rogue One, which
right.
is honestly my favorite new Star Wars movie.
Yes.
The more I think about it, the more I look at it, like, Rogue One is a great movie.
Yes, it's dope.
Yeah.
So, anyway, long story short, Mandalorian's awesome.
Wow.
And that's what you've been watching.
What a tangent.
And I also watched the Jeff Goldblum show. There's only two episodes. I think the third one might be out.
Is it good? Or is it just
it's
like,
great.
Oh,
it's Jeff Goldblum, and he's great. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, and the hidden gem on Disney Plus is the Imagineering show. And it's like a behind-the-scenes kind of look. So far at Disneyland, I don't know if they go further down the road of other things, but it's all about... Like behind the scenes at Disneyland.
You watch that, Mikey P?
So done,
I haven't
done,
yet. I do want to see it, but like I'm all, oh gosh, Jared's gonna take mine. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take mine.
Show?
No, my recommend. Okay. My recommendation.
Those are my three.
He hasn't yet. Not yet. Okay.
I'm done with those.
I was
three.
Like, oh, I was like, okay, he didn't take mine. We're good.
Right on.
And the other one is on Disney Plus that I've watched is the one that Mikey's gonna say.
I haven't told a new one yet.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's all so far all the original stuff that I've watched on there has been good.
It's funny. My little like Google glasses are looking into the future glasses.
Yeah,
like
what?
Yeah, Google Glasses. That's what you call them.
Sure.
Yeah,
yep.
So, of those are so expensive.
Yep. What happened to those? Anyway.
B is a rich man. Did you not know?
The is that, yeah, that we were talking about, I think, before we were recording about the original programming available on, right, on the tube things. And I could see in the very near future that it might take
a while.
5 or 6 years or so for Disney Plus to kind of catch it.
Yeah.
But having all of that behemoth money behind it, just like Amazon does and did for a long time,
make it work.
They can allow to take a loss for forever.
Front, yeah.
Just like Amazon Plus, everyone's
Netflix,
you know,
is still taking a loss mostly.
We were talking about that before. How long before they start making money?
Yeah.
But they've been like Amazon, just reinvesting into themselves over and over and over again and
you
taking
mean Prime,
losses.
Right? They were,
yeah.
Okay. I was like, yeah. Plus, wait, dude, they have a new service.
It's a new thing. Buy it. Buy it right now, Mikey. Buy it right now.
You're right.
But
Amazon Plus isn't great. Like
Prime.
Prime. Thank you. Disney Plus, Amazon Prime.
Right.
But they can afford to not hit it right away. They can afford for it to. They can just take a loss
and
the whole thing. They'll be fine.
And the fact that they have a plan of, like, the Marvel stuff hasn't even started yet, but there's about to be some
Marvel
shows on there.
Right.
And, like, there's going to be a lot of original stuff coming there. And, like, Lady and the Tramp did well. That's the new live action.
Did you watch it?
No, not yet. But I'm going to. I've heard good things that it's actually well done.
All right.
And so I'm like, okay. So, and that's like an original film that's on there only. Like, no theatrical release for that. It's only on Disney Plus. So, like, the fact that they do have original stuff and it's only going to keep growing, it's like, it's cool.
So, for Disney Plus, for us, besides giving us great stuff to talk about for a real big boost as far as things to talk about, for me, I feel like, taking Maddie's route, doing segments on a particular thing on Disney Plus is going to be something in my near future. Like,
sure.
Like going into more detail about a specific thing. And so the Swiss Family Robinson has been a big one. These things that you remember from your childhood.
I can't believe that has never been a TV show.
Oh, it was. Was it a TV show? Gilligan's Island.
I know, but like a legitimate, because they, like, that's a good, like, as far as like deserted island type show.
So
like, it's
you've seen the movie before?
Yeah.
How long ago have you seen it?
Years. Yeah.
So same, like, literally years and years,
years
like
and
decades,
years.
Like
yeah.
since I'd seen it.
That's more accurate.
So these images of this log trap that they built, like, was always a big thing, and they would cut the logs and it would go knock over the pirates, and they had like boulders somehow they would bold, and then coconut bombs.
Right.
I don't know if you remember
yeah.
those two.
Oh yeah.
So, but it's weird. The whole thing is interesting. There are animal issues in it that like would not fly today. That I'm really, really curious about to see how this is going to play out.
Interesting.
They ride ostriches. Like humans jumping on the back, and they have ostrich races.
Right.
Which I have no idea how prevalent or. But
ostriches would super not let you do that.
They do it in this thing.
They do it in this movie.
And then they subjugate every animal they can find.
Right.
They, like, subjugate everyone.
Yep.
They're like, oh, elephant, you're my elephant now. We're going to pull a sled.
Right.
You know, and But there's a scene where these dogs are protecting them from a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like these dogs and tiger are having a very real fight.
They probably are.
A very real fight.
This is before no animals were harmed in the making of this.
Maybe because
these
animals aren't that good at actors.
Right.
They might be. You don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe you're true. Juilliard.
Yeah, these are Juilliard dogs.
These aren't just your basic more park animals. These are Juilliard animals. But I can't imagine it would wash. Like, a lot of it, I'm like, ooh, I just can't imagine.
Yeah. But especially stuff that old. You watch those things that are that
absolutely.
Old with goggles of the
different.
But
of
it
the
is fun.
It
is fun to wonder, like,
right.
to see it now and realize, just like we're talking about all kinds of content.
Yeah.
Once pre and post Me Too, where you're like, oh, you know, before you
16
go,
candles
go right
used to be funny.
Right. Exactly.
Do
yeah.
you? Oh.
So it's point. Like.
Do you think we'll come to a point where people are like giving primers for 80s movies? Because almost all of them
there
are
might be a disclaimer.
Like, I think hey, maybe just like
different time
I think
if
you I think you
funny.
I don't think you need a disclaimer for those movies because people realize that times are different.
Right.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You're not going to smack a hysterical woman anymore, even though it used to happen all the time in the movies. Right. All the time.
One of these days.
Get a hold of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why,
like,
that's why in Airplane it's hilarious.
Right, right.
When they slap them like 70,000 times in a row. Right.
Get out of there.
Slap her like five times.
Back to see. I got this. I got this. Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
But it got me at the end of the bone. You know what?
So, fun
Excuse
fact.
Me, sir. I speak jive.
Myself a pro slick, grade Malabac, la performance down, not take TCB in, man.
So, yeah, I don't think there needs to be a disclaimer. I think, like, because when you're watching Swiss Family Robinson, it doesn't need to be like, the depiction of animals in this film might be sensitive.
Right.
To da, 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 da. Yeah. Like, you just watch it and you go, ooh, that was made in the 60s. Like, I can tell.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, this is a different era. Like, it makes a lot
of
sense.
Yeah, lots of stuff. And right. I think that, like, as long as. As a society and as a culture, we are kind of like raising our game, which
I mean,
we should be.
That's the perception of us from our position of we're educated people
right.
in a certain era. But what about the children?
Right.
They don't know any better.
Children do know better though, because they're being taught differently than what they see.
Yeah,
so
I'm,
when they
I'm
see stuff.
Devil's advocating. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. And hopefully the parents say, hey,
that's how
this
it used
is
to
imaginary,
be. Yeah.
Or it's a movie, or this is how we thought about this thing
right.
back in the day. Like, personal responsibility.
Fun fact.
Weird.
Swiss Family Robinson did have a television series, 1974.
Yeah.
It was a Canadian production and was released on DVD in 2007. So.
And it lasted how many episodes?
It was like 26.
Ooh, I was close.
Very close.
I was insanely jealous and crazy about these tree houses.
Yeah.
And everything they had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
Land
God.
Land of the Lost, baby.
I was so
cool. Oh, man.
So
that was
cool.
My jam.
So have you just been like on a nostalgia train with Disney?
Not just, but a lot of it.
Which is why that's there, too.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that have watched nothing that's new on it.
Yeah. Well, that's why it was like real interesting and will be for a while, I think, at least a little while, where I was like, what did you watch?
Troop.
And you're like, I didn't watch anything. Like, no, but what, you know, right. like, well, I watched this and this. And like, that's what's interesting. Because
right.
what's interesting is how different people prioritize what's available on there. And there's some stuff that, like, my nephew, Richie, has Disney Plus with some friends, and his list is all these like cartoons.
He's like Darkwing Duck.
Probably 2000s. Yeah.
It's not bad mouth Darkwing Duck.
No, that's why I said it's probably
Darkwing
on
Duck.
His list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Step back for a minute.
But none of those mean anything to me.
Right.
Like none of it does.
Darkwing
so.
Duck.
So anyway, it's very interesting, like personally,
dangerous.
How different people.
Nega
yeah.
Duck. They switch places.
Suck gas, evildoer.
I love that shit.
Yeah, so it is cool that
Tales
I just
fan.
Think it's, I mean, hate on Disney all you want, but Disney is nostalgia.
Disney like, makes good
they,
shit.
Disney is the master of nostalgia in the fact that, like, you, BJ, as a kid, watched Disney. You watched
yep.
with Samuel Robinson. You watched Herbie the Love Bug.
Watched,
you watched That Darn Cat. You watched Cat from Outer Space. You watched the like
the
Disney
snow.
Sunday
the
Night
Magical
Movie.
World of Disney.
Yep.
Right. You watched Walt Disney introduce whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, my as
Hi,
a kid.
BJ, have you heard about the Jews?
As a kid, I watched Disney. And then everyone watches Disney to the point where as a kid, for the very first time you walk into Disneyland, you feel like you've been there 1,000 times
sure.
because of the nostalgia aspect that plugs into your brain. And so they're very, very good at that. So when they come out with Disney Plus and they're like, we're letting you have everything. And you're just like, holy shit. Like,
we're
you are letting us have everything.
That part of your brain.
Yep. And there's a part there for everybody.
Yep.
So when it's like, ew, I'm watching Mandalorian. It's brand new. It's dope. But it activates the Star Wars part of my brain, which is also old school. And then
mm-hmm.
BJ's like, ooh, Swiss Family Robinson. I'll watch that. And it activates like
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
I used to watch this when I was a kid. Like, it makes me happy. Like, I imagine watching this when I was a kid. Watching, I wish I had a treehouse like that.
Yeah.
And it's like you're instantly there again just because of a movie. That's
the
there.
Vast majority of people that I know who have Disney Plus are all watching that kind of content, like
right?
The old.
I can
old
watch DuckTales
stuff.
Again. I can watch X-Men. I can yeah. watch, you know, all of it.
Like, I've heard people like Hugh talk about Mandalorian, but
yeah.
they're in the minority.
Right.
The vast majority is talking about. watch Cinderella.
Right.
And it's only gonna get better. Like, there needs to be like a chronological order, and it just puts everything that's on there in release date form. Boom. Or you can like, let's only see the films in chronological order. Boom. And things like that are going to be added because they haven't had any feedback from people, from the 10 million people that are on there.
While we're
and
on
so
topic,
it's like,
what are you watching Disney Plus on?
PlayStation 4.
Same.
Not me.
My phone and my computer.
Okay. I have those things, but I have neither of those. My chosen platform for the vast majority of my apps has been the TV.
Roku. Oh, you got a smart TV?
I have a Samsung TV.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Amazon's built in, Hulu's built in,
right.
Netflix is built in. Like, they all can just download right to the TV.
Right.
So, Disney Plus is like, oh, you have to get, like, something else. I'm like, ah, another step. And, you know, I'm not one of those, like, I'm never going to upgrade to get something new. But it was a little bit, like, it kind of discouraged
me. That's a deterrent, for sure.
I don't want to do something new. Like, everything works fine now. Like, why should I do something new?
That's like
new?
Apple Plus. Apple Plus, first of all, you can't get it on PlayStation, or at least not now.
You can only get it on Apple.
No, you're supposed to be able to watch it on other things, too. Like.
Huh.
Like this.
I thought you had to have the Apple TV.
I thought that too.
I thought that as well, but you don't.
Good for them.
But what
I mean—that's a big step for Apple.
Yeah.
But what I want to know, like, is that, like,
pigeonholing you to buy their shit.
You
like,
have
that's
your
a big step.
But we have. We probably all have in the cloud. Apple iTunes purchases,
movies, music, yeah,
of all
exactly.
that stuff.
Yeah. Right.
They used to only be able to watch if you had an Apple TV
right.
thing. Can you, with an Apple TV app, access that and be able to watch your own purchased stuff
right.
with
you
that?
You can now.
I don't know.
I don't know if
because
you can
again,
do it.
I didn't know they were releasing a standalone app, like a thing.
I have heard stories about this, and it hasn't happened to me, so I won't be like, content, Disney,
right.
Fox, whatever. But there are stories out there were saying, hey, older content, like things that you have purchased as like a digital purchase
right.
on Amazon or, you know, Google Play movies or whatever,
I
might not be available forever because you're not technically buying the movie.
You're yeah. buying access
to it. You're buying access. Exactly. You're
right.
buying access to it.
Yeah.
Which sucks when you're paying the
My
same price
expired.
As just
yeah.
buying the movie.
Right.
Like I bought Infinity War, Endgame, and like Thor Ragnarok on Amazon. It's like, well, I always have those digital copies.
Right.
Or will they go away?
That's why there is still something to buy in that sweet, sweet disc.
And I'm the worst kind of person. I was like, well, if they go away, I won't be too mad because I just won't watch them.
Right.
Which is terrible because you should fight that tooth and nail. If you buy a product, you should have it because that's the point.
That's the point of giving them your money. Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. No, we're in the Wild West. We're in the Mandalorian, basically.
Yeah, it's weird
territory.
Things are different and weird,
which is exciting.
Yeah.
To me, you know, even though I don't have it right now, it's exciting to me.
Well,
did you find anything on the Apple thing?
Apple, yeah, available on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Mac, AirPlay, PC, Samsung Smart TV, Roku, and Fire TV.
It's on Roku, but not.
So it's not on.
But it's not on PlayStation.
PlayStation,
but
or
apparently,
Xbox,
I think they're supposed to. Like, they plan on it.
I mean,
it'd be stupid not to.
Right.
Like,
well, and I've heard that service is stupid.
Well, that's another one. Like, Apple TV.
They have, like, the one show, which apparently is decent, the Newsroom show, with Jen Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah. There's another show.
And I've
at
heard
least
that
one
it's
other show.
Good. Right. There's a couple that they have. But that's the one that everyone's like, this is actually pretty good. But
Jen
nobody's
Aniston
watching
it
because
it.
Nobody oh. has... That stupid service.
Right. And you'd have to, and that's like, you talk about that amount of original content.
Right.
Compared to
right.
Netflix.
Disney actually has a back catalog.
At least they have that,
right?
Right.
Where Apple's
right.
like, we have two new shows. Give us $20.
Go watch
right.
Mulan. Be happy. Which I will because I love Mulan.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sounds crazy.
So.
Anything else, or do we want to wrap this bitch up?
Keep watching.
I could go on forever.
I know.
Keep watching.
That's the problem.
Keep watching. Watchmen, because goddamn, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And The Good Place.
I know. I'm all caught up. Well, I haven't seen the last episode. The
okay.
one, the most recent episode.
Yes.
That's fun,
say.
Too.
Ah, oh, super good.
Good stuff.
I heard it's Chidi-centric, which I'm excited about.
He's in everything right now, by the way. He's popping up in movies. I love him.
I love
he's surprisingly ripped.
No,
he's super ripped.
I love in the episode they called that out because I even mentioned it like the few episodes ago. Where I was like, "Damn, Chidi,
looking good.
You look good under them sweater vest, boy. Like, you're doing all right."
If I was Jeff Winger, you know, I would figure out a way to take my shirt off.
And
all
so
the time.
in the episode when he like passes out, so to speak, and they're like, "We have to move him," and they pick him up. He's so dense. He's so strong. This is weird. Yeah. Like, I like that they call it out.
Oh, man. I'll throw it back a little bit. I've been watching Scrubs.
So the Donald Faison nonsense at the beginning of the episode. Really?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh, that Faison. Wasn't even on the. That wasn't.
No,
even,
I think
we didn't record
that pre-show.
Ego.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I have a quick, slight tangent question for you,
yes.
PJ.
Okay.
Because I find myself to do this often, where it's like, okay, I turn on Hulu because we're gonna watch the latest episode of, let's say, Grey's Anatomy, because Samantha wants to watch it, and then when that episode's over, instead of backing out and going, now let's start Netflix and watch something there, we just like find something else to watch on Hulu, which it takes 5 seconds to open up a different thing. It's not about being lazy or whatever. It's just
Hulu,
like we're here, and it's like, oh, we have stuff that we can put on in the background in Hulu, like a Property Brothers or Top Chef or something like back catalog background noise stuff where like we can just toss it on and call it a day.
Right.
So when you're in HBO and you're watching, you know, His Dark Materials or Watchmen or what have you, when you're done with that episode, do you just futz around in HBO, or do you like switch apps and go over to Amazon or Netflix? Or
I do.
My thing is generally like I the new stuff. If I'm watching it, they usually come out close to each other.
Right.
So like I'll check to see the new stuff, and then if I really watch it all, generally I check out and go to a different one. And
I guess it's different with HBO because it's mostly movies, and if you're in like a TV kind of zone,
yeah.
I also know about you guys, but when we're like watching with someone else, especially something or other, you plan like are going to watch something new, or you have to like really pay attention, or you watch something that we can just kind of ignore if you want to or not. So that heavily influences what I do next. So if I'm on Hulu and I'm watching, you know,
whatever.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which we're not totally caught up on,
right?
And we get to a point where we're kind of sleepy. We're like, oh, let's go watch Scrubs so we can sleep on that because we've seen it 1,000 times.
Right.
And that heavily influences what we do.
Yeah, I find it happens more and more, I guess, lately because everything has something different.
Sure.
But I think Hulu is really the main one where it's like, let's go there specifically to watch something newish.
Yeah.
And then when that's over, we're just like, okay, they have background stuff available here.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to switch over to Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're looking, like, she wanted to watch Silence of the Lambs yesterday. Mm-hmm. Favorite movie. She watches it constantly.
That's your favorite movie?
It's her favorite movie. Yeah.
No?
And so she
like, number one favorite movie?
Yep. And she watches it constantly.
Awesome.
Like, goes to bed. Loves that movie. Favorite movie.
You married
so anyway,
well.
Yes. And so she was trying to watch it last night. And so she went to Netflix, typed in Silence of the Lambs. Not there.
Hello.
Backed
Jared.
Out. Went to Hulu. Checked for it there. Not there. Went to HBO. Not there. Went to Amazon. Not there. So she spent more time looking for it. And when I witnessed what was happening, I got up and I put the disc in. but
stop,
I don't
right
want to watch this disc.
Wait,
but,
whoa, back it, back
but
it, back
that's
it,
what you have to do. Like,
if you
but,
own the
but
disc,
you sit there,
why not just do that?
Because that's not how we're wired anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, we're not wired to do that anymore. That's why I was like, wait, we have this. Why are we sitting here switching app and switching app and switching app to try and find it streaming when we can just watch it whenever?
You
and
know,
so
you,
I got up and I put the disc in.
I think when you grab a disc and you put it in, it's very
it's
limited.
Commitment.
Yeah.
Well, it's a commitment.
Yeah, and it's very – yeah, like into this one thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that like when you're like, let me see what else is on and change around, you feel like you're not committed to anything.
That
really.
Is exactly
open
why.
Open to everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I might end up watching the disc that I have in there. But this way,
when
we last moved in a new place, I was like, I'm going to pare down our collection to things that we love.
Right.
So if I look at the shelf and I see, you know, Mean Girls, I'm like, yeah, we're going to watch Mean Girls. And I'll make the effort to get the disc, put it in, and watch it.
But now, say Mean Girls was one of the ones you nixed. When you're like, ooh, you know what I want to watch tonight? Mean Girls. You're going to search and search and search and search. And I'm sure it's somewhere. But if it's not there, you're just like, now what?
Whereas, I really wanted to watch Mean Girls.
Whereas if it's something that I know that we have, like, I almost just want to be like, okay, what do you want to watch? She goes, Silence of the Lambs. Then I'll just be like, fine. Boom, and just get off my ass and do it. But we're so trained now to just search for it. It'll be streaming
that
somewhere.
First instinct.
I mean, we do pay for the streaming.
It's streaming somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
If we own it, I'll be like, oh, can I just find this on the thing?
Yeah, it's
first?
Streaming somewhere. I'm sure someone will have it. Netflix, HBO,
the
one of them.
The only exception being like a legit Blu-ray, like the extended Lord of the Rings.
Right.
So like,
right.
I will take the effort
yeah.
to put this
that's
quality
a, that's a
fucking to-do. Movie.
Yeah.
Into the player to watch it the way it's
heat on Blu-ray.
Watched.
It's just so funny how trained
because
we
the
are.
Men of the West are fighting for their existence.
We're so trained. It's crazy.
Mikey P recommends
Gordon Ramsay Uncharted available on Disney Plus.
Yes,
nice.
Sir.
Ooh, you mean the...
I'm curious about that show. Curious about it. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser.
PJ. Please tell me why.
That'll be there for sure. But thanks everyone out there for listening to our show. We appreciate everything that you do.
Yes.
And yeah, let's get out of my garage. This has been Life's Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And
we'll
see
you
on
the
couch.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow. And wow.
So
right?
The song, I was like, really? That's like, a good one. I was realizing it's like,
this has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
You make me complete.
What could I do? Okay, all right.